Before we start today's episode, just to let you know, you can now nominate for the 2025 Northern Power Women Awards. To be in with a chance of celebrating with changemakers, trailblazers and advocates on the 3rd of March 2025. Nominate now at wearepower.net.
Power Women Podcast. For your career and your life, no matter what business you're in.
Hello and welcome to the We Are Power Podcast. This is the podcast that is all about highlighting role models, advocates, sharing those inspiring personal and professional stories with you. And what we want to do is bring some of the top tips, advice, guidance, whatever it is that may help you, whether it be on your career or your life. So let us meet this week's guest. It is the wonderfully supportive, excellent, and also going to be absent at the Northern Power Women Awards, I've just heard, but the partner at EY, Noah Mandler, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
You're always such a good supporter. You came on the How to Ace Nominations webinar last year, just in advance of our nominations. You've also been a judge now for, I think, 3 years, I think.
This is my third year, yes.
It is no mean feat, is it? That's for sure.
No, it's an amazing experience to do, but you then realise it's time consuming in a very good way.
Yes, in a good way. I think I always love that. It's when you try to explain sort of the process and I always love it when we bring back our winners from previous years and they realise that, oh my goodness, is this how you spoke about me? But then they get right into it as well, don't they?
Yeah, and I think it's one of those where we talked about it last time, you see the quality of the nominations and that actually becomes really difficult because you think, how am I supposed to differentiate between all the great things that all the nominees have done?
Oh, and one of the interesting things, one of the exciting things this year as well is we are opening for nominations. In fact, nominations are open the day after the awards this year because we want to be able to kind of expand so it doesn't just fall into a sort of a 6-week block. It's keeping it going all year round. And we've always talked about the awards not being for one night. It's not just one night, a dinner, you know, you've been in the room. But this is something I know that's been quite important that, you know, when we talk about having partners and you are, again, our headline partners for the Northern Power Women Awards, it is about a partnership. It's not just about coming for this really lovely, and which it is, a lovely swanky evening and fabulous gala and everything, but it's very uplifting. But why is it important for you? Because I know you're someone who sort of has really got behind what we do.
I suppose a couple of reasons. Firstly, it's from the community and a local, the North perspective, it's important for us to be involved in what we think is a great event. Going back to the thing around, it's not just about the event. It reflects the values that we have as a firm. It's so important for us to make sure that we are creating a culture of equality, be it gender, be it ethnic diversity. And that's exactly what Northern Power Women is about. It's trying to celebrate, firstly, the great things that women are doing and also male allies, but also with an ultimate purpose of ultimately you want to get to a point where in the future you don't need the awards because actually everything's equal and you don't need to shout it out. But it reflects some of the things that we do internally, which is we have to have things like Northern Power Women so that we carry on talking about the need for equality. Because if you don't have that continual drumbeat, we haven't got to where we need to get to. So without that continual drumbeat, we won't get there.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting what you said that. I always think that one of the purposes of me setting up what I do and why I do is almost to do myself out of a job, really, because you almost want to create that ripple effect that people do. But you talked about allies and advocacy. And this year we've created our very first advocacy list. We've had our power list, our future list. I don't know how, if I'm honest, how it's taken so long for us to have that because the awards have always been open to all genders. That's always been really, really important. But it sort of just came on the back of last year. And having a conversation, it's like, well, actually, why don't we create this sort of a new community, if you like? And how do we create this cohort of allies that then we can almost act as a mirror effect, if you like, so that we can attract more allies? And why is it so important, do you think, that for allies to be part of this wider conversation around gender equality?
I mean, it's a really interesting one. You could look at it on the one hand and say, I bet if you would have got to know all of your allies. On the one hand, they may say, I'm just doing what everyone should do. Like, I'm just doing. Some of them will say, why do I need to have a light shone on me for being an ally? I'm just doing what is the right thing, because if I believe in equality, why wouldn't I support everyone? But then it does go back to the point I made before, which is that is definitely true, but that works in the assumption that everyone's doing that. And actually what you need is to call out those really positive role models so that people then realize over time, actually, this shouldn't be something that we need to call out, but we do. But we need to show that if everyone acted in this way, we wouldn't need any of this in a way. But that's why it's important. It's a real, you get torn between a really positive ally saying, this is what I do. Yes, from one perspective, they're making loads of effort, but actually in reality, they're just saying, I'm just acting like a normal human being. But that's unfortunately why we keep on having to call it out. And we'll have it as part of the International Women's Day. One of the awards will always be similar, will always be male allyship. And you do find exactly the same debate. Like, why do I need to be called out? Well, you need to be called out because you're making the assumption that everyone else is acting like you and they're not. So we need to call it out so that, I like to say 5 years or 10 years, but in 20 years, no one understands why you needed to have this.
And it's interesting, we did an event back in the autumn time, and the event was in front of a group of male colleagues at a big corporate organisation, but from the first 5 years of their career, so the first 5 years at this organisation. And what was really interesting there was that it was like, well, why are we even having this conversation? Surely this is what, like you said, that we should be doing anyway. So I think there's an element of learning from that future generation, if you like, as well, isn't it? That's really key. What would you say is that top tip? You've kind of given some, you've already alluded to some of the things, but what was some of that advice you would give to other male allies out there about how to be the best advocate they can be?
I mean, there's two levels. At base level, it's just not necessarily work, just treat everyone the same. And that's in a funny way, when you probably speak, if I speak to my, so I've got four boys, ages 16 to 25. And I think if we had this conversation, some of them, and it's partly the way they've been brought up, wouldn't understand it. They'll say, yes, of course we act that way. But so at base level, act that way. But I think that you do, in a way, part of the benefit of your award this year is you've got a group of male allies, because depending on what you like in a work context, sometimes you may need a level of seniority or support so you can say, actually, you know, I'm going to call this out. I'm going to call things out. I'm going to vocally stand up and make sure that where I think that from an ethnic minority perspective, from a gender perspective, things aren't equal, I'm going to call it out. And some people will just be really, really brave and just shout it out. But there'll be other people who are more of, you know, quiet leaders or a bit uncertain, especially if they are, they're not necessarily as settled in their role. Use things like this or look around and see who the other male allies are, because if you feel that you can't quite say something, there will be in every organization other people like you who want to do more or are doing more. So reach out to them, even if that gives you a comfort blanket, not necessarily to learn. And I think the other thing is, if you've got people who think, I need to know who the other male allies are, odds are you are doing the right thing. So just carry on doing the right thing. The mere fact that people are thinking, oh, now I think I do this, that's a positive in itself.
So just, we're talking about your industry and sectors, which is far reaching across the world of, you know, professional services. Over the sort of decades, has been quite male dominated. I don't think it is as much so now. It's definitely looking better in 2024, isn't it?
Definitely looking better. And if I started work right at the beginning, I suppose, 1996. So, I mean, the change has been huge, but there's still a long way to go. And if you look at our firm as an example, now, I suppose a benchmark that we put out is a percentage of female partners. And so every year we improve it. And I think last year, 36-37% of new partners were female. So in terms of percentage of partners, we've still got a bit of a way to go. I think we're still at about just under 30%. But it clearly is a long way to go. But I think, and I think if you look back over time, we've improved. But my personal view is that it's still taking a long time for that improvement to come through. And if you go all the way down to the people who are coming in at sort of trainee level, especially from a gender perspective, we're roughly 50-50. And so for us, it's more around what do we need to do? Because I think when I started work, it was very, very male dominated. So you couldn't really say, right, in the next 5 years, because you still had to, you still had a bit of a way to go to progress things through. For us, it's about how do we make sure that if we start at 50-50, everyone has an equal opportunity to get promoted in the way they want to get promoted, so that we can hit. And again, from a gender perspective, it's quite easy to say it should be 50-50 because it's like an easy one. So there's an improvement and there's a continual improvement, but I think that we've got a way to go. And the question is, do I think as an industry we'll get there? Yes, but I think that without continued effort, we won't get there quick enough. So that's the point. I think the point is that every year we do better, and across the industry we do better. But the question is, do we want to get there in 20 years' time, or do we want to get there in 10 years' time, or do we want to get there in 5 years' time? And that's the reason why all this is important, and that's the reason why it's a continual focus and should be a continual focus in all organisations.
It should, and I think what you're talking about, it's that progress, not perfection. You know, I think, and also nobody is there, Noam, are they? Nobody is there. And I think so, for the decades I've been working around equity, inclusion, gender equality, social, all of that, nobody is there, because, you know, we have to keep shifting and keep moving and be aware and be curious and keep learning, don't we? I think we all have, even the biggest organisations like yourselves, we've got to keep learning. And also that, I think that knowledge exchange is really key as well, what we can learn off smaller organisations, bigger organisations. I think that's, because like the younger guys I talked about sort of earlier, who were kind of, why are we even doing this? I think it's that learning from our future gen as well as the very, those who are kind of, you know, sort of on finish their careers, and you know, so we don't have that knowledge, so we don't lose that knowledge exchange. I think it's really important. We've just got to keep learning.
And a lot for us when we're, so I have a D&I role, a national D&I role in the firm as well. And I think a lot of it is asking people to share their lived experiences of why, because I think that, and again, maybe in my industry, you know, this is maybe on the male side, people go into solution mode too quickly. And actually you need to step back and you need to ask people how they feel and ask people, what can we do? And even things like, you need to break down those assumptions around why are we not at 50-50? And it's not, part of it is about equity of outcome, but part of it is also about people make different choices, people do different things, and actually people want different things. But the only way you really understand it is by listening to other people.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that's come out of me throughout this whole piece, that curiosity, isn't it? Having that curiosity. What are the directives, and that feels like a very formal word, doesn't it? But what are the things that you're most proud of?
So something that we had, I think in most of the big professional firms, to make partner, it's quite a brutal process. And you go through it's a process that's evolved, keeps on evolving over the years. And actually something that we implemented as a leadership team is actually making sure that a process that, whilst it evolves, it still looks for certain attributes, that we've got one-to-one sponsorship, for example, of female candidates or ethnic minority candidates, just to ensure that they feel that they can be, that they feel that they've got a base layer. And I think part of the reason is that I think that, for example, a lot of the male candidates, based on their own attributes, will reach out and find their own sponsor. So actually, it's making and I think that has made quite a big difference in my part of the business, in terms of making sure that people feel sponsored, people feel supported. I think that's quite, from a very, very senior perspective, that's been a really positive impact. Something else that we've implemented is actually whenever we have our performance reviews, our roundtables at the end, we've made sure that we have what we call inclusion champions in everyone. So it's supposed to be an independent person who's just there to make sure that from a pure diversity perspective, there is a level playing field across everyone. And actually, that very, very rapidly had an impact, even to the extent that even now when people know that they're there, they actually, you got to the point where they are subconsciously thinking about it all the time. So again, that was a very positive directive that we did that actually had a far quicker impact than any of us expected.
And I think, is that one of the things that one of the biggest improvements that you have noticed in that really active promotion of wider diversity?
The fact is, it's a constant agenda point. It never goes away. And that's part of it, is that you want to get to the point where it's part and parcel of the culture. D&I is part and parcel of the culture. And therefore, whether that's around how do we allocate work, whether that's around how do we build our teams, whether that's around giving people equal opportunities, you need to have lots and lots of small interventions rather than one big, grand, fancy target, because it's the small interventions that will get people to think about it day to day. So for me, you can't point to one, because there probably would never be one thing.
And I think that is the perfect way to kind of sum up. I think it is the small, I always think it's the sum of all those small things, the sum of all the small parts that make up to the big thing. That's what sports teams use, don't they, across the world, as the kind of the 1 millimeters here that all add up. It's not the, sometimes we all go for the big, hairy, audacious goal, if you like, and then, you know, and then we do it, and then it's like, oh, right, okay, how do we keep that going? So I think my top tips from here, we said we were going to give some top tips here, so it is absolutely about the small things. It's about just keep doing and keep being inquisitive and keep learning, I think, are the things. Noam, thank you so much for being a gem and a wisdom as ever.
Sorry I'm not with you on Monday.
Yes, well, you know, you are forgiven this time, but don't forget you'll be joining us on the live stream. Thank you so much, and a best of luck to everyone for the 2024 awards this year. Thank you so much for the ongoing support from EY as our headline sponsors of the largest event celebrating gender equality in Europe. Let us go wild on socials and share the love for everything that is fabulous out there. Thank you so much, Noel.
A pleasure.
And thank you all of you for joining us on the podcast. We love your comments. We love your feedback. Stay connected on all of our socials, and do leave a review. You can do that old school. Type things up, press post. We love all that. And stay everything that we've got going on, and on everything around the awards and everything around our mentoring. Please stay connected on digital hub. We are power.net. Thank you all so much for your support. My name is Simone. This is the We Are Power podcast, and What Goes On Media production.